So you want to know what a priest does and experiences? Just listen. This is the second part of the story of Father Rollins Lambert. It is number 11 in our series. Number 10 is the first part of his life as he went through the seminary. Not only that, but became a convert to Catholicism. And now we pick up that story. He has been ordained, and he is at St. Malachy's Parish on the south side of Chicago. And he continues his story. I was there for 7 years, all of them, with Father John F. Brown, who was pastor from 1938 to 1962. In 1956, I returned from vacation, and the housekeeper told me that I had been transferred to St. Dorothy's. I was there with two pastors. There were two associates, Tom Rafferty and myself. The parish was 80% to 90% black. I was middle class black. It was middle class black. We priests tried to bring the people into an integrated society. At one level, there appeared to be little discrimination. People had help from the federal government. They were able to get loans for their houses. We had a lot of good work done at St. Dorothy, in spite of the fact that the pastor was a pain because of his drinking. In 1961, a chaplain's job at Calvert House opened up. Tom McDonough needed an associate. He was doing a lot of publishing. He needed some free time. I was anxious to get back to the University of Chicago and the academic life. The negotiations took some effort. It was still pre-Vatican II, but I got the assistant chaplain's job, got a Danford grant, and tried to do a PhD in anthropology part-time. But I was too busy. I was named chairman of the Art and Architectural Commission for the Archdiocese and became president of the National Black Clergy Caucus, which I helped to found. There were only about 20 or 30 of us then, mostly from religious orders. We just wanted to promote the integration of black priests and people into the Catholic Church. We worked for better uses of black clergy and religious. A real spark plug was Herman Porter, a black priest from Rockford, Illinois, who was vice president of the organization. We circulated a letter to all the black priests in the country, urging them to attend a special caucus in conjunction with the Catholic Clergy Conference. The invitation was prompted by Chicago's mayor, Richard J. Daley's Shoot to Kill order. Our theme was Black Power and the White Church. It upset a lot of white priests, especially when we issued a manifesto saying that the church was racist. There weren't a lot of us, maybe only 50 or 60, but our statements made for change. The bishops became so more sensitive. They stopped asking us if we wanted to work in the black community. We found many priests, black and white, who wanted to work in the black community. They became rectors and superiors, all in a period of 5 years. It reflected the mood of the country. But Cardinal Meyer died in 1965, and Cardinal Cody came in as Archbishop. A lot changed for me. I got a lot of heat from him. He told me that if I ever wanted to be a bishop, I had better give up all this race stuff. McDonough and others agitated to have me appointed chaplain at Calvert House, but Cody appointed me pastor of St. James, an old Irish parish that was now mostly black. I was there only a few months when a crisis broke out at my old parish, St. Dorothy's. The old pastor was changed to Waukegan, and Cardinal Cody appointed me pastor in order to block the appointment of Father George Clemens, then a young associate pastor who was black. The people wanted George, so did a lot of political activists and some clergy. I was no longer president of the Black Clergy Caucus, and they were backing George. The people weren't against me as much as they were for George. It was a tough time for me. I felt very much like a pawn. It was all over the papers. A Chicago Tribune reporter asked me if I thought that Cody was a racist, and I replied that I thought that he had some racism. That did it for Cody. I was pastor, but George was getting the support. The situation got very hot with George. If Cody had had his way, he would have burned the place down. All the publicity was a challenge to his authority as a pastor of the Church of Chicago. I was a pastor of a divided parish. George Clemens was still stationed there, but was spending his time touring campuses. George was eventually appointed pastor of Holy Angels. Things cooled down. Gradually, I was able to restore law and order, but two of the associates left the ministry, and young associates kept coming and going. All I wanted to do was to get back to the University of Chicago. Finally, in 1970, Cody appointed Jim Sweeney as pastor, and I went back to Calvert House as chaplain. I was much more comfortable there. In 1975, I thought it was time to make another change. I had a connection with the NCCB USCC, and I knew some DC folks. So I wrote and asked for a job. I knew that they wanted someone for the African Affairs in Brian Hare's department. I met with him for 20 minutes, and Brian gave his okay. Cody, Cardinal Cody, quickly gave his, and I was there for 12 years. I came back to Chicago in 1987. I was 65 and had to retire from the USCC, but Chicago lets priests retire at 70. I would just as soon have stayed in Washington, but my pension is back here, and I needed the money. Being a dean is no great fun. I must go to an endless number of meetings. He was, by the way, dean of the whole South Side. Officially, I am only in residence, but I do a fair amount of parish work. I try not to do weddings unless there is a special request. They take too much energy. But I do hospital calls. I see some scary things in the parish, especially about the church's relationship with youth. We don't seem to be getting to them. We don't have young people. What's going to happen? Our hope for the future must be in lay ministry. We just lost a fine associate, and he wasn't replaced. We now have a layman for the youth program, and that's getting to be the pattern. Oh, the church will survive, but I don't know how. I think it's inevitable that we'll have some married clergy. In fact, they may be just around the corner, including the restoration to ministry of married clergy. But I'm not sure about females. Maybe the door will open for ordaining married permanent deacons and permitting those under 35 to marry. And maybe they'll permit ordained permanent deacons to remarry. Presently, if a permanent deacon is widowed, he cannot marry. All these rules are mainly to protect celibate clergy. Our permanent deacons at St. Joe's are doing a superb job. By the way, that's St. Joe's in Homewood, Illinois, just over the border from Indiana. They give great homilies, and they're still all working men, non-retired. Well, I'm nearly here, there. 70 next year. I'm tired. It's been a good life, but I worry about the priest burning out. We're aging too fast. We seem to be caught in a downward spiral. Fewer priests, more work, more burnout. We still have to find a way to relieve that burden. There's also a lot of time wasted in ministry. We could actually do more work without endangering our health if we made better use of our time. I'm getting used to getting up on the altar again. All those years in Washington, I said Mass in parishes only twice. Now, I'm doing it all over again. I'm at St. Joseph's in Homewood now. I like it there. I'll most likely stay there and help out after official retirement, which he did. And then he went on and went out to New Mexico, Albuquerque, and lived part of his retirement life there, and then came back here to the Tim Lyne house in Palos Park, and eventually he passed away. There we have the story of the first African-American priest in Chicago, and what he experienced, what he endured. And not only what he endured in the sense of just hanging on, but the many things that he championed, many things that he began, and the life that was in it for him. I lived with Rollins Lambert while he was at the Bishop's Conference, and from then on, we were the best of friends, from 1976 until his death here in 2009. He was a remarkable man, very self-effacing, but always into issues. He loved art. He loved music. He was educated. He was cultured. He was God's gift to us, the first African-American priest of Chicago. Amen.